than I usually read, but it's got a lot to say about what we're going to preach about at the beginning, and then there's a few verses in between, and then it ends again with what we're going to preach about. And so we'll, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 17, we'll read them, and I'll give you the title, and we'll go forward from there. So Ecclesiastes 3, it says here, to everything there is a season, and of course we talked about this last night at the harvest party about seasons and changes, and we spoke mostly on changes, and then we talked a little bit right at the end about seasons of life. But the Bible says, to everything there is a season, and of course we're experiencing the fall season. My wife and I hadn't experienced one of those in a long, long time, and so we're enjoying it, and so forth. She saw a picture from a friend on the Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and it had a little bit of a yellow leaf on one tree down there in Florida, and they were like, you know, fall in Florida. And but anyway, so she said, should I send them a picture of this? And there was, we were coming up the hill and all the orange and the yellow and the reds and the greens. And so anyway, there is a time and a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So we're going to preach tonight about timing. And timing is, you know, the title of the sermon is Timing is Everything. I don't know if it's everything, but it is very important, and we're going to see that in a second. Verse 2 says here, there's a time to be born, or we would not be here. And then there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. And those of you that have gardens, you know when those times are. Walmart pretty much has them all the time, and so forth, for those of us that just go buy it. But anyway, there's a time to kill, there's a time to heal, there's a time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. And so, of course, we see here we're going to experience sadness in our life, and then we're going to experience happiness. Happiness calls us, and this is what that word dance there means, to be joyful. Jumping around, can't stand still because you're so happy. That didn't mean do the jig and gyrate all over the place. All right, so again, we don't want to unspiritualize the Bible, but there's a time to be sad, there's a time to be happy and laugh, and there's a time to mourn, there's a time to be so excited you can't even stand still. Verse 5, there's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. And again, having teenage boys, I always brought that verse out to their attention, and I was like, you know, before you're married, that's when you refrain from embracing. I know she smells good, looks good, all that kind of stuff, but you have to refrain. You do not touch her. Do not embrace. Now, obviously, after you say I do and she says you do, then you, that's that time to embrace. And you know, and so I have to remind my wife of that sometimes. Come here and give me a hug. The Bible says so, all right? And it's time to give me a hug. But anyway, verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow. And again, I'm not very good at that. I'm good at rending. I can rip stuff. And we even ripped a cornhole bag yesterday in a time to rip. And then Miss Mary ran to the house and fixed it. She sewed it back together. There was a time to sew. There's a time to keep silent. We won't embellish on that anyway, but there is a time to keep silent. And there's a time to speak. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time of war. There's a time of peace. What profit hath hath he that worketh that wherein and laboreth, and I have seen and travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. And so, of course, that's why there's a time for everything, because God made everything, and it was beautiful in his time. And of course, we know, if you read in Genesis, that he made the world, he made everything that is in the world, things like that. So there was a time for that to be made, and he chose when it was. And then it says that he rested on that seventh day, and he saw that it was good. He looked at it. And a lot of times when we get finished with a project or something that we've cooked or something that we've built or something that we fixed, we get that satisfaction, there we go, to look back, job well done. And so we see here there's a time for all that. For he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning up to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, and it is a gift of God. And so, of course, when we look at stuff that the Lord's allowed us to have the physical strength to work and to earn money and to buy, whether it be a house or whether it be something in our house or something, maybe some toy or hobby that we have. And we see that, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's a time of that to work, and then there's a time to enjoy what you worked for and things like that. And now you can't be underbalanced or overbalanced in any of these areas, so God knows that. That's a gift of God. In verse 14, I know that whether or whatsoever God doth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it or anything taken from it. So we can't improve on what God's done. We can't change what God's done to make it the better. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. So in other words, God did all that so that we would respect God, have that reverence of God, that He can say when life begins, He can say when life ends, He can say when things are blessed, He can say when things are cursed, He can say when things are going good, He can say when things are going bad. He gets to do that, and He wants us to respect and reverence Him, fear Him. Verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And so, of course, we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to give an account for our life after we get saved, things like that. So God requireth that. And then moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness that iniquity was there. And here's where we'll stop in verse 17. And I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, and there is a time there for every purpose and for every good work. And so God has a timetable. We know that His timetable is not our timetable. A lot of times we're impatient. We want God to bless now, or we want God to heal now, or we want God to do it right now, and so forth, and things like that. And so, but He's not under that timetable. The Bible says 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with God. You know, there's not a timing for Him and things like that, so He's not restricted by that. But He did design times for certain things, to refrain from them and to enjoy them, and to stay away from and to participate. He did all that. So timing is, you know, obviously God made, because He made everything that's in this world. So the word timing here means to arrange the time or to set it in motion to be acceptable and suitable. And that's what God did, you know, the right thing at the right time. It also, timing means to adjust. So sometimes our timing, we need to slow down. Again, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We need to be patient. Like I say, you know, a 7 and 8 year old, they think each other are cute, and you know, write, you know, a Valentine and say, "Would you be mine?" Chill out. You know, slow it down. You're 7 and 8 years old. Okay, you're not getting married tomorrow. So there are some things that we need to slow down on. And then same thing. We say, you know, I want to be rich now. All right, you have to work at it. And so forth. And God has to bless it. There's a time. So we might have to adjust when we look at it in God's point of view, and to consider and make it coincide with God's timing. And so timing is pretty important. And then it says here to set the duration. In other words, sometimes it takes a little longer or a little shorter than we might choose. So we want to make it in God's timing. So timing is everything. I'll give you a couple illustrations here, and then we'll get the points. I guess where I learned that timing is pretty important with sports and some hobbies that I've had, and learned the experience of timing, of course, growing. And like my dad, you know, him and his brothers, they would go deer hunting when I was a little bitty boy. You know, I'm not even sure how old. I'm sure it was 4, 5, 6 years old. And him and his brothers would go hunting every weekend and leave me at the house. And I would just boo-hoo like a little girl, because I wanted to go so bad. And I would get told, "You're not old enough." But I wanted to be old enough. I wanted to go now. And so I got told, "Nope, you have to wait till you're 12. And I've seen lots of little boys that didn't have to wait till they were 12 to go hunting. But anyway, I was told, "You got to wait till you're 12. You have to go through the hunter safety course. You have to pass that. Then you can go." But I wanted to go now. So I learned timing, and I finally turned 12, I passed the hunter safety course, I got a weapon, and I've been doing it ever since. But I had to wait, and wait, and wait. Same thing, I wanted to get married, but of course I had to wait and find the right one. Wait for God's timing, wait. You learn that timing is pretty important in all these endeavors. Some things that I played baseball, And timing is very, very, very important in baseball. You know, you think you just go out there and just do it. No. Especially the older you get and the better they get. You'll see people, you know, they'll have some type of weird thing that they do. You know, they'll almost turn straight looking at the pitcher. And, you know, how in the world are you going to do that? Eventually that bat's going to be here, okay? And they'll stick their leg way out, or they'll tap, tap, tap. All that's for timing. They're anticipating that ball coming close to 100 miles an hour, and then some of them even can go above 100 miles an hour. And so timing is important. If you just sit there and just stand there and somebody throws the ball 100 miles an hour and then you say, okay, I decide I'm going to hit it. No, you're not going to. You're going to look like some of those guys they put on the ESPN that they swung 10 minutes after the ball hit the catcher's mitt. Boom! Because you have to learn to time that thing. And so timing is there. I've been to monster truck rallies. And that looks cool to me. All dudes like crashing cars and running over stuff and this powerful. But those guys, they don't just go out there and do that. That engine has to be revved at the right time. They have to pop, and now they can pop on the back wheels. They can do the nose things and they'll jump around. That's all timing. And again, you just go try it for the first time and you don't have your timing down, you're going to be a mess. the last one I'll give you is, some people call it ramping, some people call it jumping. I was into that with my motorcycle, bicycle, all that stuff. But, you know, ramping or jumping a jump is very much into timing. I'll give you two examples. One, you go fast and you hit the ramp at the right time. And you kind of pull up the front end so you don't nosedive, things like that. All that is experience and timing. So I was on an XR250, pretty good sized motorcycle. I'm coming up to this culvert pipe. The driveway was up here and the culvert pipe was down there, and it made a perfect ramp. So we'd hit that ramp, fly across the driveway 20 or 30 feet into the front yard. And just perfect ramp. And so on my 250, I would hit that thing going in about third gear, wide open. I would slow down a little bit, give it some gas to get the front end up, and I would just soar. And so I was riding my friend's little GT80, a little Yamaha GT80, and I was going the same speed as my 250, but I didn't realize it, but I was wide open, fifth gear. And so when I went to hit that ramp, there was no more oomph to get it. And so when I hit it, obviously it nosedived because I didn't hit the timing right. And so I'm flying through the air. So on my 250, I hit the ramp and I'm flying through the air. And the wind's in my hair. Yeah, I had hair back then. And I was looking around. Man, I'm way up here. So both ramps were perfect. Both flying through the air with the exact same thing. On my 250, I was sitting right. And I was like, okay, this landing is going to be pretty secure. On the 80, I'm up in the air. And I'm thinking, oh no, this is going to leave a mark. This is not good at all because the front end's down. So I'm thinking, okay, if I can hold this front steering wheel straight when I hit on the front, maybe I can ride it out. Not so much. It hit, turned, and I hit the side, the front yard, knocked the breath out of me. I'm rolling around. So anyway, the jump was the same. The flying through the air was all great. The two different differences here was that landing. So I'll say it like this. The flight through the air was enjoyable either way. The only difference was the expectation of the outcome. So on my 250, I was thinking, this is awesome. This is great. This is going to be wonderful. On that 80, I was thinking, this is going to hurt. This is going to leave a mark. So same thing. We see here, timing is everything when it comes to these things. And now, obviously, we'll get away from illustrations, things like this. We'll get back to the Bible. So let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13, we're going to look at a few things here in the Bible where it says that timing is important. You don't just, you know, just go through life on a wing and a prayer. We don't just go through life and just do what we want to at a whim. It's important. Again, if you are going to have a garden, you have to plow, you have to plant, you have to fertilize, you have to water, and you don't put the seed in the ground and go out the next day and have a crop full of stuff. No. You have to have timing. You have to have the water. You have to have the time for it to produce. Things like that. So timing is important even in the Christian life. We have to do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it to have the outcome at the end. So Romans 13, let's look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says this. And that now, or knowing that the time is nigh, is, I'm sorry, I'll start here again. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And verse 12 says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So, again, when you get saved, it's time to put all the things away that would, I guess, appeal to the flesh, to lust after. It's time to get rid of that. And it says right there, it's high time. You wake up. Now, of course, we know the Bible tells us to love, not sleep. That's hard not to do. Especially if you work hard, you're tired, you want to rest. And the Bible says that's okay. We ought not love sleep to the point that we don't wake up and we don't go to work and we don't do what we think. It's time to wake up. We get that. So same thing here. If we're saved, in the day that we live in, it's time to wake up and it's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that we're commanded to do that. And we ought to don't make provision for the flesh. The Bible tells us to give no place to the devil. Again, there are certain places that we ought not go, that if our flesh is appealed to do something wrong, stay away from that. So it's time to do that. So it's high time to awake and live right. And I'll read you a couple other verses. You don't have to go to these. I'm going to read you one in Hosea. If you want to go there, you can. But Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says this. You can write it down and read it for yourself later if you want to. Verse 12 says this, sow to yourselves. All right, so you're going to reap what you sow. And so we got to take care of ourselves. It's time to take care of ourselves. And so sow to yourself in righteousness. And so everything you put inside of you should be righteous. We ought not put things in our eye. In other words, looking at things that's unrighteous. It's time to put that away and only let righteousness go in our eyes. Sow to yourselves. Only put things in your ears that are righteous, not unrighteous. Let's don't listen to gossip. Let's not listen to complaints. Let's not listen to wicked things. Sow to yourselves righteousness. So only put in the ground what you want to come up. If you want watermelon, you're going to have to put a watermelon seed in there. If you want cantaloupe, you're going to have to put a cantaloupe seed in there. So again, if you want righteousness to come out of your life, you're going to have to put righteousness in your life. How do you do that? By what you see, by what you hear, by what you think about, all right, what you participate in. Sow to yourselves righteousness. And then if you do that, you're going to reap mercy because you're not going to be able to be righteous 24/7. You're going to make mistakes. But if you're trying your best by putting righteousness in the eyes, putting righteousness in the ears, putting righteousness in the mind, and when you make that slip up, it says here you'll reap mercy. It says here, break up the fallow ground. Of course, this is how you plant. You have to break up the fallow ground. If you've got a hard heart, break it up. If you've got a hard mind, break it up. If you've got a hard neck, break it up. Break up that fallow ground. Why? Because you're trying to sow righteousness into your life. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. So Hosea was trying to tell, obviously, back in the day when Hosea was preaching, people could care less about God. They didn't want to hear it. And he was telling them, you've got to sow righteousness. And God will be merciful to you if you'll do that. So you've got to break this up. Break the habits that you have. You've got to break up the hard heart you have. You've got to do all that stuff. Why? Because you want to have righteous. So it's time, high time to wake out of sleep. Secondly, we see it's high time to seek the Lord. Another one is found in 1 Corinthians. I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 7:29. It says this, but this I say, brethren, talking to the saved people, Paul was telling the church at Corinth, says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And so, of course, we know that was Paul's opinion. When Paul got saved, he'd wasted a good bit of his life. And he got saved on the road to Damascus, and he said, okay, I'm going to forget that stuff, and I'm going to press toward the mark. And then he goes on to say that I'm not even going to get married. He said, because if I get married, then I'll have to take care of my wife, provide for her. And that's going to for lack of a better term, slow me down, weigh me down so I can't serve the Lord. Why? Because I've wasted too much time. That's why Paul had that mindset. And so he says here to the Corinthians, you know, you're being baby Christians over here. You're needing the milk of the Word, not the meat of the Word. You need to get with it. And you need to live to the point like you don't even have a wife. In other words, serve God with the time you have left. And so, of course, we know that was Paul's set. So we see it's high time to wake up out of sleep, live right. It's high time to seek the Lord, like Hosea's day. Paul was saying, time is short. We don't have that much time. In other words, Paul would say a phrase like we would say today. He might say, you know, because he did say reckon, right? Paul used the word reckon, and that's a good southern word. You reckon it is? It is. All right. So in other words, what Paul was saying was a good southern slang phrase that we use sometimes, get her done. That's what he was saying. All right, get it or done. We got it. We don't have time to waste. And so we see timing is everything. There's another one found in Ecclesiastes 9. I'll read that one to you. Ecclesiastes 9. Excuse me. There we go. Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 9. Well, there it is. All right, Ecclesiastes 9, verses 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 10 and 11. We're looking at it's time. 10 says there, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, or whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And so, of course, Solomon's saying here is, you know, you're going to live and you're going to die. And so when you go to the grave, you're not going to be able to work anymore. You're not going to have knowledge anymore. You're not going to have wisdom anymore. You're going to have nothing anymore where you're going. So right now, you have time to get this. Verse 11 says this, I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And so what the devil will tell us sometimes is, you know, you don't even get in the race because you're too slow. You're not the fastest one, so you're not going to win. And so I've seen people like that. You know, you come up to somebody and say, hey, you want to race? I'll race you to the back door. First one touches the door wins. Nah. I don't want to do that. You know, you're going to beat me because you're faster than me. So they don't even try. And so that's what we see that Solomon is saying. Look, the Christian race is not just to the swift, not just to the fast. It's to everybody. Or that person's got more knowledge about it than I do, so I'm just not even going to try. And I don't know the Bible real good, and I don't know a lot of the Christianity things, so I'm just not going to do this Christianity thing. That's what the devil's trying to talk people into doing. No. It's not just to the fast people. It's to everybody. We all have a race to run. It's not just to the smart people. Everybody has a race to run. It's not just to the skilled. All right? Everybody. It says here, time and chance happeneth to them all, so we all have to take and run our race as fast as we can. Last one I'll read to you is found in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Ephesians 5:16. It basically, I'll just read the part of the verse I want to tell you. It says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Redeem the time. So in other words, you know, we've seen, like my wife and I, we had a plane ticket that we bought, and then we had to go to a funeral. We didn't get to use that plane ticket. And so then they tell us, okay, you got until January 1, 2024 to use it or you lose it. And so, again, that's what we have time. We have the plane tickets paid for. All right? But if we don't use it until, you know, before January 1, 2024, we lose it. And so that's what this is saying. Redeem the time because the days are evil. You're going to either use it or lose it. So that brings, that's all the illustrations and all the Bible that I'll look, and we'll just look at these things. So our day is evil. We do have same-sex marriages. We do have transgender. We do have all that kind of stuff going on. We have abortion. We have politics that are just, you know, out of their mind. Things like our politicians are out of their mind. We have all that kind of stuff. We have Christians that won't grow. We have Christians that don't care. And so, yeah, we can find a lot of the stuff. We get it. The days are evil. But that's what the Bible says right here in Ephesians. Redeem the time. God knows that the days are evil, so we've got to get to it. So what do we need to do? It's time to do these things. Number one, it's time to request. It's time to request. So if we're looking at that, it would be easy to say, what's the use? You know, we can go door knocking and there's still going to be same-sex marriages. We can go invite people to church, and there's still people that's going to try to choose what they want to be. We can go to church, or we can go, you know, out and have a Christmas parade and pass out materials, things like that. But there's still people that, you know, could care less about God. And so, yeah, the days are evil. But that's why we need to request. There's a couple verses I'll put under this. Psalm 32:6 says this: "Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Okay, right now, God is still God. And He can still be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He still has His ears open. So we ought to take time to pray, make requests. God, help us reach people. Help our church to grow. Help us to be good examples. Help us to be lights of this world. Pray when there's a time that God can be found. He can be found. Psalm 69:13 says this: "My prayer is unto Thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time." So it's time to make our request known. And ask God. Say, God, for such a time as this, You put us in this world, on this globe, and we are alive in 2023 and fixing to be 2024 in the next month or two. We need to do something. We need to ask God and ask Him to, and we do it all the time. We ask God to heal people. We ask God to give wisdom. We ask God to work in situations. It's time to make our request known. Number two, in this time of this world, there's a time to be refreshed. There's a time to be refreshed. If you go out in the world all day at your jobs and you hear the language and you hear the jokes and you hear the comments about Christians and you hear, all right? But there are times that we can be refreshed. I enjoyed like crazy the revival when Brother Sellers came and preached. That was refreshing to me. All right, and what it did, it gave me a good outlook on, okay, I'm refreshed now, so I'm going to start making my requests, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because it's time. And so the Bible tells us that there's a time to be refreshed. In Acts 3, I'm going to read you one verse in Acts 3:19. It says this in verse 19: "Repent ye therefore." So in other words, if you do get bogged down, and you do get your eyes off God, and you get it on the wickedness of this world, and you do maybe let your lamp get a little bit dim. It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted," like we talked about this morning. Let God convert you and make you into what He wants to. "Can be converted of your sins, or that your sins may be blotted out. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So there are times of refreshing, and we'll look at them in just a minute. I'm going to read you another verse in just a second in that same chapter. But there's a time to be refreshed. How do we do it? I'm refreshed when I pray and talk to God. How do we do it? I'm refreshed when I read the Bible. We get strong confidence in the Lord. How are we refreshed? I'm refreshed when we come to church. I'm refreshed when there is revival. I'm refreshed when I have fellowship with other Christians and we talk about things that God can do with us. That's refreshing. Yes, last night was refreshing, all the getting beat at cornhole. That was not refreshing at all. But everything else last night was refreshing. It was refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. So take advantage of those so that when there's times of scariness or disappointment, we have those times. So it's a time to request. There's a time to be refreshed. Number three, there's a time to be restored. Same chapter, Acts chapter 3, verse 21. It says this: "Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began." So there's going to be a time of restitution. We talked about it a little bit this morning when the devil is cast into the lake of fire. All right, God's going to make everything right. No more death, no more disappointments, no more sickness, no more sorrows. God's going to make everything perfect, just like it was when He created the Garden of Eden. And we're going to get to live out the rest of eternity through that. Now, so there's going to be a time of restitution. It's going to be back. That's what restitution is. It's back to the former condition. If you're restoring a car, that's what you're trying to get. You're trying to get that 1967 great year. All right. y'all didn't catch that. 1967 great year. And it could be rusted and it could not roll and it could not crank, things like that. But you put it back to that 1967 look, all the paint, all the engines, all the tires, things like that, and you totally restore it. You brought it back to its former condition. So we can be that way. The world's going to be that one day. We get a new world, a new heaven, and the way God intended it for until Adam and Eve sinned, it'll all be made right. Restitution. So it's time to be refreshed and restored. You make up for lost time. That's what Paul did. I'm not getting married. I'm going forward. I'm making up for that lost time. I'm going to try to be restored. Number four, there's a time to recognize. There's a time to recognize. And again, this was a phrase that people used, I guess, back when I was in high school. If you bowed up to somebody, that's what they would say sometimes. You better recognize. All right? In other words, you better realize what's right on this side over here. You better recognize. And so there's a time to recognize. And the Bible says it. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man. All right? So when that time is there, you better recognize. Again, I refuse to grow up totally. Because I still like having fun. I still like acting like a kid, things like that. But I recognize when that's, you don't do that when you're going down to try to buy a car. Right? You don't put a one of those whoopee cushions in the car salesman's seat. That would be pretty funny. but you might not do that. You might not shoot a spit wad and hit him in the forehead. If you're trying to buy a car, it's time to act like a man. I'll make my payments. I'll give it all back, things like that. So there's times that we have to act like a man. So we've got to recognize. So we saw, first of all, it's time to make our request. There's a time to be refreshed. There's a time to be restored. There's a time to recognize. The next one, number five, there's a time to review what you know. There's a time to review what you know. What will happen sometimes, we'll get caught up in this world, living our life, and we'll think, oh man, what's the use? That, I might as well just give up. I've been trying and I've been failing. Da, 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 da. No. Let's just go back and review. That God is awesome. God is powerful. God is in control. God created me. God saved me. God put me here. God is going to give me the strength I need. So we start reviewing what we know. Study to show thyself approved. Why? So you can be a workman. Not just lay around and do nothing, but be a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Why? Because I've reviewed what the Bible says. Then it says here, I can rightly divide the word of truth. I can soul win. I can tell people what the Bible says, things like that. Why? Because I've reviewed what I've known. Next one. Number six, there's a time to re-enlist. There's a time to re-enlist. Of course, the Bible talks lots about wars. It talks about soldiers, being a good soldier. It talks about equipment that we can put on our body and use to fight with, things like that. But just like regular wars, there's been times where people enlisted and they went and fought. They got out, but they liked fighting for their country and doing their part, things like that. And so they may have re-enlisted, got in the reserves, whatever. So same thing with the Christian life. There's some times where we've fought a good fight. We've been serving God, but maybe we've backslidden or maybe we just got tired. But there's a time to re-enlist, and that time is now. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So there's a time to re-enlist and fight for the Bible and fight for the faith and fight for our family and fight for our church and fight for the Savior. So there's time to re-enlist. It's high time we re-enlist. Number seven, there's time to re-inspect. There's a time to re-inspect. And again, maybe your parents or your dad, I would say, not just my parents, but my dad, would tell me to do something. And then he would ask me if I did it. Sure, yes, sir, I did. I'm fixing to go look at it. You want to go check it, re-inspect it, make sure it's done like I want it done? No, it's good. And oh, I would get in trouble sometimes because I hadn't done it. So you re-inspect. In other words, the Bible tells us to set ourselves apart for God's use. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this, if a man therefore purge himself, in other words, re-inspect, look in the mirror, pray and see what God points out in your life. So if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, and meet for the master's use, prepared to every good work. So sometimes we need to re-inspect and make sure that we're worthy, we're sanctified, we're set apart, we're prepared for that work. You don't have time to waste. We don't have time to meander through life. It's high time. And so we see all these R's. There's a time to request. There's a time to be refreshed. There's a time to be restored. There's a time to recognize. There's a time to review. There's a time to re-enlist. There's a time to re-inspect. Why? Because God has something for us to do. God has something for us to do. and so just like the Bible says in Ecclesiastes here, there's a time for everything. And it's time for us to grow as an individual. Time. Can't put it off anymore. Why? Because we're going to stand before God one day and give an account. So use these things to re-enlist and refresh and recognize all those things. Then there's the time that we ought to grow as a family. It's exciting to me to see lots of kids around here. Last night there were kids bouncing everywhere. And shoes or no shoes, it didn't matter. They were bouncing everywhere. That's awesome. And I'm glad that their moms and dads are in the church and growing in their Christian life individually. Why? Because that makes strong families. And then what makes strong families? What makes a strong church? Strong families. And then what I like to look at the big picture, not just us. I'm excited about us, but there's other churches all over the world. And there's individuals there growing. And that makes them stronger. And that makes their family stronger. And that makes their church stronger. And if there's strong churches all over the world, we're doing what we're supposed to do in the time that we're supposed to do it. So it's high time that we wake up. It's high time that we get refreshed. It's high time that we review. It's high time for all those things. Why? Because there's a work to do. So don't get caught up in the negative part of it. Again, all the stories in the Bible, there were some people that made excuses. You've all heard the song, I'm sure. Excuses, you hear them every day. People just use them. And the whole family stayed home to blow the poor kid's nose and all that kind of stuff. So you can make excuse. No. It's not time to get excuses. It's time to do all these things. And so let's do our part in being what God wants us to be in 2023. End it out strong and kick it off in 2024. Again, we've been here since January. And so this will be... this is our first fall here. We did get a little bit of the winter, but we're looking for forward to many, many years to come. And I was excited this morning. Again, we were over 60, two Sundays in a row without a baptism or without a special thing. And the parking lots were full. That's exciting. And over 40 tonight. So that's awesome. So anyway, appreciate you being here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany can come. We'll have an invitation. It's high time. It's high time. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for the timing in the Bible. Obviously, we see here the Bible says you made everything in its time. You put everything in motion in its time. And Lord, we're here for a reason, and that's to serve you. So Lord, I just ask you to help us to do the best with the time that you've given us. Let's all stand. Let's sing an invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to come talk to him. Altar is open.